Hello, friendsies, and welcome to episode 53 of Healthy Teacher, Happy Teacher. I said it. I was having some problems earlier. But anywho, we're over that now. We're on to episode 53. And I wanted to talk about a big elephant in the room that I feel we never really dish on and we don't talk about enough. And that is when we, as professional teachers, right, when we feel humiliated or embarrassed or insulted, or we get our feelings hurt by other adults or the students we're serving in our classroom, I just want to dish about it because I feel like we don't talk about it enough, but it's obviously a reason that teachers are leaving the classroom. So let's get on with it. Let's do this thing. Are you feeling a little burnt out and exhausted this school year? Healthy Teacher, Happy Teacher podcast is here to get you through the hard weeks. We will be tackling tough topics while addressing self-care tips and tricks to help you live your best life. I'm your host, Jessica Martin, a coffee drinking teacher and tech coach working on my own health journey as I pursue happiness in my teacher life. I am so happy you're here with me today and I can't wait to share all the things with you. Let's get on with the show. Okay, friendsies, before we begin this awesome episode, I wanted to read one of my written reviews on iTunes. My listener of the week, this goes out to Hartsman. Oh boy, I'm probably not saying that right. But anyway, just a reminder, if you leave me a written review, I have a little Google form you can go fill out. And then throughout the year, I will be sending people happy mail who fill out the Google form. So if you're into happy mail, something for you to do. Anyway, the nicest thing you could ever do for me as a podcaster is leave me a written review on iTunes. It's sort of like going back and reading my old high school yearbooks, except now I actually have a bunch of words instead of have fun in the sun, babe, from random strangers that I barely even talk to. Anyway, let's see. Let's read this review. Absolutely amazing. Jess's podcast is the only way I start my day. I listen each and every morning on my way to work, and her words resonate with me so much. She is inspirational and goal-driven and radiates so much positivity and good that this world desperately needs. No matter the subject of each episode, I can find aspects that I can easily relate to and apply to my career and my life. Thank you for all you do. Thank you. You're welcome. Never stop making episodes and I will never stop listening. Thank you so much. This is like the best. Like I said, these are way better than anything ever written in any of my yearbooks or even my wedding guest book. These are better than that even. No offense to anyone that attended my wedding, but you know, I don't know. I'm just saying that you guys could probably lead some classes on how to leave really good written notes. All right, let's get on with this show. It's going to be a great one. And we're back to episode 53. So good to have you back, friendsies. Today's episode, it was inspired by a post I saw on social media by Miss Fairchild's Muggles. Really lovely account and human. I've known her for a smidge now. And so she wrote this post and it said, the picture was teachers are humans. And then this is what she said. I debated posting this, but I want this space to be one that lets me be open and honest with all of you awesome humans. This year has been tough. I'm not sure what it is, but it just feels like something isn't clicking in the classroom. The same can be said for my personal life. And sometimes it's just completely overwhelming. My anxiety, of course, does not help with these feelings. Last night, I texted my principal to ask for a last-minute personal day because I just knew that I could not teach and be on today. I didn't want to be mean to the kids. I didn't want to be mean to my coworkers. I need time for myself. I needed to go for a walk with my sister's dog. I needed time to sleep. And you know what? That's okay. Far too often, there is this narrative that teachers are saviors and that we must empty ourselves to provide for our students. dragons. And I'm sorry, not sorry, but I do not prescribe to that belief. Yes, teaching is powerful and what we do creates ripples and waves in our students' lives, but it is not our job to drain ourselves mentally, emotionally, and physically. Teaching is a job and teachers are humans. I think we'd all do well to remember that of each other. And I was like, whoa. And then she kind of went on and did a bunch of stories about just that she had was having a bad week. And she was like, it's just, you know, I'm pouring a lot of myself into these lessons for these kids and they are treating me like crap. And I was like, wow, you are speaking to my teacher soul right now, Miss Fairchild. Yes, yes. And it's just something that I wanted to come and talk about on here because I've talked about taking mental health days before, but I don't think we talk about, you know, what, like some of the behaviors we have to deal with in the classroom. And you only understand if you've been there, right? You only understand if you've been a teacher. And then there's just this kind of, I think, certain administration and certain people and certain other teachers and parents and society as a whole, they seem to think like, oh, well, we're the adult in the room and we control everything. We control the environment. We set the stage. We control our mood. We control so much. And I've even talked about that before. Like, it's really cool that teaching is a job that you can control a lot. You can control your environment. You can control like the way things look in your classroom. A lot of places you have to work in a cubicle or in a retail setting or in an office space, and you can't really make it yours. But a classroom is a cool place that you can make yours. But even when you do that, even when you make it yours, there are still some people that are going to rain on your parade because it is the ultimate customer service job, right? And it's not even people that are willing to buy your services. Like in customer service, people are paying money and getting mad when they don't like your performance. But in public education, there's no transfer of money besides like the taxpayers. Like the kids are being forced to go there. And then you're dealing with a wide variety of problems. I mean, I don't know. I do have several friends that work at Walmart, and when they tell me their stories, I'm just like, that's nothing. And it's not to belittle any people that work at Walmart, but I hear their stories and I'm just like, either I'm totally not surprised because I am teaching some of these people's children, or I'm just kind of like, oh, like I'm a little disenchanted because of all the horrible things I've already been through, right? Like, so anyway, if you work in a retail setting, you probably don't want teachers as your best friends because they're not going to have a lot of sympathy for you. But no, I've worked in retail before, so I know how bad it is. But it's sort of the same thing, except we have all of these things we're trying to achieve and accomplish. Like, we're not just selling a product. We're like basically a one-man band in a circus act trying to get dozens of people on board with what we're trying to sell, right? It can be a lot. And so I wanted to talk about, I feel like there's an elephant in the room of just like teachers' feelings. And, you know, for me, the worst feelings that I feel as a teacher is when I feel embarrassed or humiliated, or I get disrespected. And when you work with teenagers, this sort of happens every single day, right? We never want to talk about it. Like, there's a lot of positives to teaching in middle school. For one, they're very independent, you know, they're not throwing up on you anymore, and they can go to the bathroom sometimes. I'm not sure. Well, we'll get into that later. But anyway, they're not, you know, there's no poopy pants. It could smell like it sometimes, but there's not. Maybe. Okay. I'm getting off track. Okay, friendsies, I'm back. Note to self. You know, don't talk about Walmart and poopy pants in the same 5-minute segment, or I'm going to get derailed every time. I'm going to get derailed. Okay. So back to just like, okay, the elephant in the room is just teachers' feelings. We are expected to be like emotionally bulletproof, right? We're just expected to be dealing with all of these different behaviors and just say to ourselves, oh, they're just children. They don't mean it, you know? Oh, they're just growing up. It's growing pains. And the truth is that teaching is kind of a hurtful profession. There are a lot of good things about it. I've spoken about a lot of great things. I love that we do have control over, you know, our office space, the way things look. You know, some of us have control over the lessons that we plan out and teach and the way we teach it. And that's cool compared to other maybe like pencil pusher jobs, right? Other jobs you'd get after college. But it's also emotionally draining. And I've talked about using mental health days before. I've used them myself. I think they're super important. I think more districts should be planning mental health days into their contracts in the future because teachers are burnt out. I mean, we are getting not only insulted, but people are trying to push our buttons and humiliate us on the regular. Right? Every day this is happening and we never really want to talk about it. So I thought I would share a little story with you of something that recently happened to me and how I dealt with it. And then we're going to talk about other ways of dealing, like when you've been insulted or another person has upset you on the job, what can you do? Because, you know, as teachers, I feel like when we go on social media or we complain about this to our friends or our families, one, maybe they're kind of sick of hearing the same story over and over. Two, we get accused of being negative and we're supposed to be these positive beams of light all the time. Three, people are like, well, I mean, you work with kids. What do you expect? You know, I've heard that a lot from friends and family. You're working with teenagers. Of course, they're going to try to get under your skin and hurt your feelings, right? But it doesn't mean that our feelings aren't valid. So that's why I want you to listen to the rest of the show to understand that your feelings are valid. And when you get your feelings hurt, whatever feeling you're feeling, a lot of times I just feel embarrassed. I feel embarrassed that I went to school for an extra 7 years out of high school and that I'm getting insulted all day by 12-year-olds. It feels very embarrassing, right? Like I feel kind of like a dum-dum. Why did I do this to myself? I went to college this for so many years and jumped through all these hoops to be belittled by 12-year-olds. I mean, what is my life even? But that's okay. You can feel that way. You can validate your feelings. You can take your mental health days. You can step away from the profession. You can stop seeing it as this pathway of saving people and start seeing it for what it is, which is a job. That's what I liked about Miss Fairchild's post is sometimes I think even though when we become a teacher, it kind of consumes us and we start to live this teacher lifestyle where we all have a lot of things in common. We still have to remember that it is a job. It is a paycheck, right? And I think it's good to separate that, like when you can really see it in your head as being a job, and it's a job that you can quit. I've known a lot of people. I have been in this one friendship group for a few years. And, you know, when we started the friendship group, we were all teachers and half of the people have left the profession because it is that hard. It is a job that you can leave. So, I mean, it's a good thing to keep in mind. It's a career that has a lot of heart to it. And it's definitely a lifestyle when you're in the career, but it's still a job. And you need to be able to separate your personal life and how you're feeling away from your job. You need to be able to kind of separate it out a little bit because this is the kind of job that can consume you once you get home. And that's when I think we get really miserable with it and we need to switch jobs, right? When it's consuming our lives. And it's just the nature of the beast in a way. But I feel like one part of this kind of this way that it consumes us is that when we get insulted or our feelings get hurt, we push our feelings under the rug all the time. We never really, like everyone has different ways of dealing with it, but we don't really acknowledge or validate how we're feeling when we're being disrespected. And it's pretty much in the job description now that we're probably going to get disrespected at some point. Like I said, no matter how good of a teacher you are, or you think that you are, or how engaging your lessons are, it's the kind of customer service job where your customers at times are going to insult you. It's you can't avoid it. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter how good natured you are or what kind of person you are, or where you're from, or how strong you are going to get your feelings hurt being a teacher. So let's talk a little bit about the different pathways to, like, when someone's hurt your feelings, student or an adult, like, what can you do about it? So the first tip that I've read about is just to consider the source. So now I'll tell you a personal story of a time I got my feelings hurt. It was just a few weeks ago. I was sitting in a small group of students and we were kind of talking. The bell was about to ring and I was telling them about my bearded dragon, Trogdor, who died the day before school started. I'm still kind of upset about it. And I had him as my class pet for many years, had a lot of memories with him, and he died. And I know that's a part of being a pet owner, is that your pets die, right? But I'm still kind of a little upset about it. And I was telling the kids about it because some of the kids in this group had bearded dragons as pets. And I figured it would be a good story for them to kind of see me as more of a human, right? And while I was telling the story, a student out of the blue, who wasn't even in the group, and I don't really have any problems with the student, out of the blue, the student says, "Oh, Mrs. Martin, is that why you don't have any children? Because you don't know how to keep small things alive? Like, if you had a baby, you would just kill it because you can't even keep your bearded dragon alive?" I was stunned. I was shocked. This person has never spoken to me like that before, has never said hateful, evil, mean comments. And it was soul crushing. It hurt my feelings on the spot. I wanted to burst out crying and run out of the room. It was so awful. Because as I've shared before on the show, I'm pushing 40. I don't have any children. Because we have infertility issues. And it's just like the most hurtful thing you can say to someone who's dealing with infertility and who's pushing 40, right? Like, it's just so awful. But then, you know, society and parents and administrators are telling us, well, this is just part of being on the job. You just got to deal with people insulting you. It's just a bit dealing with kids. But that in the moment, it was soul crushing. Right? I felt like crying. I felt like running out of the room. I didn't know what to do. My skin turned like red hot. I wanted to like get mad at the student and yell at the student. And then at the same time, I wanted to cry and crawl into a hole. And then all the other students are looking at me for my reaction. And I decided in that moment that this was, you know, not like, I felt like in the moment, this was a one-time event. Like that was my first thought, is like the student had never insulted me before, had never gotten out of line before. This was a one-time event. This is a part of their development. And I decided to ignore it and move on. It wasn't worth my time in that moment. And I felt like confronting the student on that would have just escalated it because they were obviously in a bad mood. So that's kind of the first tip that I actually read about online was, when you've been insulted, consider the source and ask yourself, is this a one-time event? And if it's a one-time event, the best thing to do is just ignore it and move on. Now look at me. It's still 3 weeks later and I'm still stewing over this comment. But I did that day. I was so upset about it that I decided to go home and plan a little weekend getaway with my husband. And we had a really great time. And that's kind of like how I dealt with that emotional stab. But I'm sharing that with you where like, it feels embarrassing even sharing with you that I got my feelings hurt, right? From a kid. But this is happening to us every day. And I think it's something we need to talk to. Okay, let's look at the next step or the next tip for when you've been insulted, you get your feelings hurt in class. Okay, so let's suppose that you are being disrespected or insulted, or people are making you feel bad and it keeps happening. The same person keeps doing it, maybe a group of people, and it's not a one-time incident. And so you decide that this is nothing that you can just ignore any longer. You need to confront the people. Now, I think in a perfect world, you'd be able to take a student out in the hallway and talk to them, but we have to be realistic that without having other adults in our room, depending on your situation, it's probably not a good idea to be leaving the room, right? I know some teachers still do it, but for me, I don't really feel comfortable doing that in my situation. But anyway, you want to be able to have a direct conversation with the person who's upset you. And one of the best tips I read online is to really use I-focused language. Like, instead of turning around, whipping your head around, saying, "Hey, stop hitting him with your pencil," right? Like, we're so quick to turn around and tell kids to stop doing something or knock it off, you know, give them a warning. But really, if we want the disrespect to go down, right? Like, we want to lower the level of disrespect from certain students who keep hurting our feelings and keep upsetting us, we should be focusing on using I-focused language. So instead of just saying, "Hey, put that pencil down," you go over to the student and you say, "I feel like you're disrespecting my classroom rules when you're touching him with your pencil." Right? Like, you use I and me in everything you say to the student, and it really humanizes yourself. So I really like that one. And then after you confront the student using I-focused language, you should always practice active listening skills and listen to what the student has to say after you talk to them about their behavior. You want to actively listen to what's on their heart. And a lot of times, you know, we know that a lot of times it's not good, right? A lot of times they just get sassier, they backtalk us even more, and then we need to take it to the next level and follow through with some sort of punishment or some other step or something else, whatever's in your behavior management plan, whatever's in your school handbook, I don't know. But a lot of times students are feeling like they're not being listened to after they get in trouble. And then that makes them do it again and again and again. And I know even I can be quick to reprimand someone and then kind of turn my back and want to move on really quickly, because it's awkward sometimes having to do that. I like to have a good time in my classroom. I like everyone to be learning and having fun. And then when I have to take a time out to go and, you know, tell someone to stop doing something, it's hard to remember these things. Which is why I'm telling you, it's hard to remember to use the I-focused language. It's hard to remember to stop and just listen before reacting any further or going to do something else. Two good reminders if we just want to see that level of respect go up. And it's all about you feeling good at the end of the day. It's all about you feeling like nobody's hurt your feelings. You've had a great day. Everything's going the way you want it to go, right? So anyway, those were some really great ones. And then of course, you know, just setting those boundaries. Like, if you say you're going to punish a student with something, like, "I am going to call home. I am going to talk to the principal about this. I am going," whatever your response is, just make sure you follow through, because the minute you don't follow through, that sort of opens the door wide for them to disrespect you or hurt your feelings again, right? Okay, so now I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, we talked about responses we can have when we get insulted, we get our feelings hurt. And I think that these work great for other adults too, using the I-focused language and having, you know, actively listening to them, you know, treating them with kindness, empathy, and being fair. These are all good things to keep in mind. But now we have to look at the damage that's been done. After you've dealt with the person, you have damage now. You have suffered emotional trauma, and you're feeling damaged on the inside from whatever it is that hurt your feelings or got you riled up to begin with. So I just wanted to go through a really quick list of things to think about to do at home or to do on your lunch break, things that could just get you in a better mood. Okay. And this is just kind of a random list I found on Psychology Today. It's a really great website if you need any healthy, happy living tips, right? I don't know why I keep saying right. I think I get nervous when I tell these vulnerable stories. I get a little shaky and weird. Okay. So let's go on to some things that could make you feel good. You could take a walk and connect with nature, sing your favorite song with gusto, or just listen to your favorite music, purge your closet of things to donate, or just donate your time or money to a charity, practice penmanship, like beautifully write out your name or the alphabet on a piece of paper. These are things that can distract you or just kind of help your soul heal when you've been hurt. Watch some stand-up comedy on YouTube or Netflix. Play with a pet, a dog, a cat, or anything else. Write an encouraging note to a friend or relative. Meditate for 10 minutes. I do have an episode about how to start meditating in the beginning of this podcast series. I think it's might be episode 3 or 4. It's really close to the beginning. Try doing a drawing. I like trying the directed drawings on YouTube. Just Google directed drawings. And then it's like an artist teaching you step by step how to draw something. It's kind of fun. Bake something, take a bath, try 20 minutes of yoga or do a stretching video, read your favorite book or a poem. Try to force yourself to dance to your favorite music, talk to your most supportive family member or friend. Sign up for a class to learn something new. Close your eyes, sit up straight, and just take 10 mindful, slow breaths. Start doing jigsaw puzzles. Write down things you're grateful for. I loved all of these ideas, and they're just things like sometimes we need to redirect ourselves, right? Like we need to find a way to heal ourselves when we have been hurt by other people. And I think counseling and therapy, these things are must-haves now as teachers, and they're great. And a lot of places actually offer you discounts for being a teacher because they know how upset we get. But I think it's also good to have like this arsenal of things that make you feel good in your back pocket. And I need to remind myself of these things all the time. And people come up to me and say, oh, you seem like a pretty jolly teacher. You seem pretty awesome. But I still struggle every single day. I get my feelings hurt and I need to do things to make myself feel better again. So if you're in that boat, know that you're not alone. Your feelings are validated. We can start to talk about this elephant in the room and find ways to deal with it, because we do not have to be continually upset or insulted or disrespected at our jobs. I mean, we can acknowledge the way that we're feeling, and we can recognize that we are paid professionals, but we have some people in our jobs that are immature, and it's true that we signed up for it, but it doesn't mean that those people aren't going to hurt our feelings just because of their ages, right? And I have seen kindergartners, send their teachers into crying, right? I mean, it doesn't really matter what grade you teach. It just matters that, you know, your feelings are valid and you can get your feelings hurt by anyone at any age. And it's just getting you to the point where you know you have a plan of action to take when it happens, and then you have something to follow up with to make yourself feel better. That's what I hope for you. And yeah, we're all in this teacher boat together. We're all going through the same things, no matter who you are or where you live. We are all struggling with the same issues. So I hope this episode helped you to see that. Go check out Miss Fairchild's Muggles post on Instagram. It was a good one. And until next time, Frenzies, I hope you have a fantastic week. You've just finished listening to Healthy Teacher Happy Happy Jessica. What? Oh no, I don't know how to stop.